Hello, today, dear podcast listeners. I am very, very excited. This, for me, this is the best podcast I have ever done. We have an amazing guest, and his name is Mark Vermeuse. And Mark went through Navy SEAL training. He has been an amazing coaching director for Tony Robbins, sales director for Clients on Demand. And there's so much stuff that Mark can share. And Mark, remember when I started in your class, years ago, and what is great about you, Mark, is that you see shiny, the golden nuggets in people's skill sets. I'm very grateful to be here, to have you. This is really a great podcast. So Mark, welcome to this podcast. You have ICF coaching listeners, and let's go.
Well, first off, Roel, thank you so much for having me. And for everybody listening in ICF, I want to give you a shout out too. There's a lot of people, for example, that were overweight and lost the weight, but they don't turn around and help others. There's a lot of people out there that were broke and became rich, but they don't turn around and help others. The thing I love about ICF and the reason that I love coaching is because it's a unique connection that we all share, which is a love for our fellow human being. We hate to see people in suffering. We hate to see people living less than their greatness. ICF has arguably done the best job in the world at actually teaching you a structure and getting people out of their comfort zone so they can help others. There's no greater calling, in my opinion, than helping others out of pain and helping them live their best life. So everyone listening, make sure you start every single day and be proud of the person you see in the mirror, because it is critical. If we're going to change the world, we're going to do it by helping liberate people out of suffering. So huge props to everybody listening.
Thank you. So Mark, as we remember, when I went through your class, I want to do all those training, ICF, and NLP and EMDR and God knows what I went through, but at the end, it didn't work for me. So I focused just on asking great questions and helping people. So can you elaborate a bit your thought about all those trainings? And yet they are necessary, but not all are necessary.
So it's a great, great, great question. And it's the number one challenge. So let me break down, Roel, the three biggest myths in building a six-figure coaching business. Okay. I see this. I've worked with thousands and thousands of coaches. I have helped make countless number of coaching millionaires. And here's what's great. Coaches aren't doing it for the money, but I don't want you to do it for poverty either and stay in poverty. So in between that, those two deals, I want the people to listen that it is not either or. If you do it right, you can build a 6, 7, 8, and 10 figure coaching business where everyone wins. And so I want you to get, because people misconstrue, but there are three key myths that, as I've coached thousands of coaches and online business coaches, that they assume the wrong things, which keeps them paralyzed. And there are three things that everybody needs to have a 6, 7, or 8 figure coaching business. Number one, you need to know how to get qualified people on the phone to say yes or no about coaching and changing their life. Number two, you need to know how to enroll them with integrity to make a win-win so that they aren't getting closed. They're choosing to solve the problem. And I can show you how to do that very easily. Number three, you have to know how to fulfill. So this is the key where I believe ICF really leads the way. The reason it's so important that if you cannot fulfill at the best, that's why I want anyone listening. You do want to continue. You do want to eventually get a master's in coaching. You do eventually want to understand NLP or DISC and values or EMDR, any of these other strategies. But that is not what that does, is give you more confidence, more ability to serve people. So it's a core foundation. But I also know, I'll give you an example of somebody. This one beautiful woman came through our training. She was a DISC value certified instructor. She was a professional speaker trainer. She was an NLP master practitioner. She was a conversational hypnosis and hypnosis trainer. Wow. She had a master's degree in psychology. She had, you name it, this lady had everything. And you know what? She was broke and she couldn't coach, because she put her faith in the initials after her name instead of her true passion in loving and serving people.
Yep.
And so I don't want you to do it. It does not mean that I'm saying for a second, you don't want to get great at your craft. That is a given. That's a no-brainer. But what breaks my heart is I see people spending time and money, and they're hiding in those certifications instead of helping people today.
Yes.
So let's.
I was one of them, right, Mark?
Yeah,
absolutely. And it's also a great strategy that I used not to call people and say, hey, listen.
Exactly.
I was hiding in, another certification. So I was busy with other stuff, but not getting my clients and supporting them.
1,000%. And so it cracks me up. I shouldn't say it cracks me up, it breaks my heart, because quality people, what I love about the coaches is their deep desire to serve. But what happens, though, is the moment of getting an enrollment and having to pick up the phone or having a call, if they don't know how to do it, they won't do it. So they've got this wealth of knowledge and they don't know how to transmute it on the phone. They don't know how to transmute it in their emails. They don't know how to help people get on the phone to say, hey, what's going on? Let's solve your problem.
Yes.
But let's go to the first thing, because this is going to stop you out there if you're not doing it. It's not the initials after your name. It's not your training in terms of, you know, having 30 different initials and different certifications. If at your core you care about people and you're willing to do and serve them, you already have a unique advantage over people that think it's their degrees. The reason why so many people choose coaching over therapy is because of the human connection. The complaint I hear over and over again with the therapy is I'm talking at you. We're going to go back. But coaching is, where are you right now? And there's a human connection and says, hey, let's craft a great future for you.
Yeah.
And so it's a different approach, which I prefer personally. I'm not saying it's better, but it works better for me. So the first thing I'd say is the quality of coaching. I'm going to tell you, for the rest of your life, you're going to want to get better. But don't confuse that as that's going to get you more clients. It doesn't. I know somebody with 5 PhDs, 5.
My God.
And they couldn't get clients and they were broke.
Yes.
And I know somebody with a PhD from Harvard in psychology and she couldn't get clients. Okay. So I want you to understand 3 things. You need to know how to get quality people on the phone. You need to know how to enroll with integrity. And 3, you need to know how to fulfill. But it's like martial arts. You don't just stop after you get your first white, yellow belt and then a black belt. That's the start. And so I want you to do it. 2, people mistake and think that it's immoral or price is the reason they're not enrolling. It's not true. You are offering a lifetime transformation for somebody. In a lifetime, an average American or North America, I know we're talking to Europe, they have a different number, but it's a lot. The average American is going to have between $3 and $10 million go through their life in their lifetime through their hands. For a quality coach who transforms the biggest problems in their life, I'm asking for 0.1 cents. And so what happens is the myth that people think that, I'm more virtuous or it's better to charge less. It is not. If you do not charge enough skin in the game, the client doesn't show up. 2, the client blames you for not getting a result. And 3, you end up resenting the clients because you've got all this knowledge and wanting to help, but they're not showing up. And price is a big part of that.
I totally agree. You know, I see my executive clients and price is just a number.
Correct.
And a good price tag, what is fair for the company, for me, for the person, it generates leverage. You
Correct. Know?
And if you ask $20 an hour, and unfortunately it happens, the clients don't take that very seriously and they bail out quickly because they have not skin in the game.
And they don't show up. So who are we really helping? And the only reason we do that is because we don't know how to value our worth over a lifetime. And that's also a process that's relatively easy to learn. So the second thing, though, is don't confuse price as the determining factor whether you're getting clients or not. In the second section, you're not more virtuous if you undercharge. In my opinion, you're hurting people because you are allowing them to not show up because there's not enough skin in the game. I'm not saying I want you to just take people to the cleaners on the money. I want you to be happy with what you're receiving and base it around a lifetime value. An attorney, a surgeon that's going to save a life, he's not upset because the surgery costs $20,000 and the insurance is going to pick up and there's a lot of different ways. He spent his lifetime to be able to save that life. Okay. So coaches need to understand we are critically important in transforming a life. And I only need 0.1 cents of their lifetime earnings to save their marriage, to help them have the body of their dreams, to be able to live bucket list items and live a life of value.
Yeah.
So I need to be inspired and the client needs to be inspired to show up or they won't. So I see pricing as a big problem for most coaches.
I remember, I think it was you actually, Mark, who told a story about a dentist. And, you know, there was a patient and he had problems with his teeth and he went to the dentist. And finally, there was one guy and it was extremely expensive after, you know, the invoice came. And I said, what do you want? You know, I fixed your problem in less than half an hour rather than 4 months of pain. And of course, you know, so that's I think, a good metaphor. A good skill set, a good heart, have a different price tag. Absolutely.
So let me walk the listeners through the story because it's a funny story. There's a dentist, and as most dentists love to do, he's golfing, right? And part of his foursome is a longtime friend that he hasn't seen for a while, and they go golfing. And this guy just keeps complaining about his tooth. He goes, I'm sorry, I'm in so much pain. And then the dentist says, why don't you stop by? He goes, I've already talked to every dentist. They want surgery. They want this. It's just, I can't even concentrate. I can't eat. He goes, just drop by the office. Let me take a look. Afterwards, the next day, he shows up at the office. He opens up his mouth. He looks, he goes, yeah, I can solve it real quick. He's in and out in less than a minute. Now he gives him a bill for almost $1,000. And he comes back in like, how dare you? You were only in my mouth for about a minute. He said, yes, that's true. But I've spent the last 30 years training so that I can do it in a minute, where other people can't do it at all. And other people might take hours. I did it so that I could remove it with no pain. And the guy thought about it. And he goes, you're right. He had already gone to all these other things and every day was miserable. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. Don't confuse the outcome with time. Stop selling time and start enrolling people in the value, lifetime value. Now, let me get to number three. It's also critically important. This is a big one, arguably maybe the biggest one. Coaches, and this is where I train thousands of people. It's part of why I created Sales Alchemy, to teach people heart-driven enrolling. What I found is to quit selling people and start enrolling them in their dream. This is a completely different concept than what's being normally taught. Mm. So what I noticed, Roel, was that most coaches I talk to, an overwhelming percentage, are heart-driven. They hate seeing people in suffering. They would do it for free, if, honestly, between me and you, we'd do it for free, even though we wouldn't get the leverage and the client won't show up. But we're not driven by money. But what I noticed was, when you take heart-driven people like us and you then go out into the sales training space, and you're going to see the Wolf of Wall Street, you're going to see these different people who went to prison for fraud and high pressure manipulation selling. And then you don't know what to do. So you start hiring people who are variations of this manipulation pressure. And then you go try it and you're heart driven. It doesn't feel good. You hate it. You hate yourself for trying to pressure somebody and you stop. And this is where most people get caught. This is where they give up, because if that's what it takes to be successful, I don't want to do it. And to be honest, I'm glad you feel the incongruence, but it doesn't have to be the way. That's exactly what I've taught for the last 10 years when I was also director of coaching for Tony. I was also director of sales training for Tony. And I got the guys there to stop selling events and start selling outcomes. And all of a sudden we grew from 3,000 people events to 10,000 people events. We grew and broke every sales record in one training cycle, teaching people how to quit selling and start enrolling from the heart. And only do it if it's in the client's best interest. And so that's what I've been teaching as well for the last 5 years, is showing people how to quit selling and start enrolling, having a real conversation that feels good for everybody. And it's a lot of fun when you do it right.
Absolutely. So if I see my clients, actually, I go to my clients. You know, I was last in Prague, in the south part of Germany, and I've just a normal conversation, a cup of coffee, ask about the family, and then asking, hey, you know, where would you like to see yourself in a year or so? And that personal connection, it's a done deal. So I'm not selling, you have to coach a package to buy it. It's the connection, as you say. And that works really well for me.
Very much. And then the other thing that I found that most people miss, most of the people out there training, they're going to manipulate the training kind of like this. Roel's got blue eyes and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to match his body language and I'm going to match his tonality and I'm going to use tonality to sound like I care. How about we quit the games and we just truly care?
Yeah.
My God, Roel, it's so good to meet you. What's going on? Hey, how's everything going? What's going on? That's the first piece, is quit doing the act of coaching and just show up as a good human being that you really are. Number two, I want people, when they're doing that, to stop thinking about, you got to realize that they're only talking to you because something in their life is not where they want it. Okay. They're in some type of emotional pain and consequences. When they think everything's great, they don't get on the phone with a coach. But if and they might not tell you right away that, oh yeah, Roel, my life is breaking apart. Sometimes
they never
they
say
do, rarely, rarely. Well,
they
I'm doing really
rarely.
good. You know, I'm just kind of going on with my business, and you know, I just want to see about making more profit, and I want to go ahead and get more free time. And then you
There you
find
go.
out they're facing bankruptcy. Their wife is leaving them. They're drinking too much. They're overweight. They're having heart problems. But the human psyche, a lot of times, has protective measures that it's hard for them to admit the truth. The more skilled you get at knowing how to ask questions to unpack and unreveal the truth, you don't have to sell them. They will enroll on their own because when they look in the mirror of the truth, it doesn't feel good. And now they will do something to change it. And that's really the key when you're getting to that second section, which is how to enroll in their dream. You have to get good at the consequences and know which questions to ask, how to drive to the truth without being manipulative.
Yeah.
And then it's fun because I can't tell you how many people have said, you know me better than my wife and my husband. You know me. Holy crap. How did you know that? And it's like, that's what we do when you do it right.
To be honest, you know, and I'm, I love Tony. You know, he changed me in so many ways. And I also know going through the events, and I sometimes came back with $4,000 or $5,000 on stuff. And I thought, what the heck did I do? You know, I bought stuff because I have been manipulated because I thought I needed it because I didn't need it.
Yes.
And I think selling from the heart, as you always said, you know, transactional selling versus selling from the heart, that is the key.
And it's even more important for heart-driven people. And I'm not anybody's judge. There are some people who don't really give a rip about their fellow man. They just want the ego, the Ferrari, the lifestyle. Okay, good for you. Let's let them figure out their journey. I'm speaking to the people that actually care about their fellow human beings. I want to speak because if you are that person, you will never thrive with a manipulative selling technique. It's why your ads aren't working if you're doing Facebook. If it's why your emails aren't responding, because you're listening to the wrong people. And what happens with a lot of the manipulation selling techniques that are out there, it doesn't feel good when they do it to you. So it won't feel good when you're trying to do it elsewhere. So you'll stop doing it.
Yep.
And now all your coaching skills go to waste and people stay in suffering because you don't know how to get in front of them with integrity.
AI is actually a big play, right? So I see sometimes answers going back to me and I thought, what the heck is this? You know, this is no human connection. It's
Let's
just a
talk
bot.
About that. In a world of high tech, high touch becomes more important. What's going to happen as more and more people lean on AI, they're going to be getting a more and more homogenized generic version of whatever it is. People that understand this can actually gain market share by being more authentic, by being more honest, by speaking an honest truth. Human to human connection is going to take up more importance, not less. So for everybody worried about AI, I mean, you can use it for structure if you want, but never give up your humanity, because humanity is what is going to make you stand out.
Yeah, it's I have a client, and there was a moment he said to me, hey, Roel, you know, I don't need you anymore. I was a bit provocative, and I said, okay, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, I have a chat GPT. I put everything in the bot, and there's an answer. I said, okay, I guess there's a connection between just action-driven coaching and AI. Perfect. Yeah. But the ICF, Masterful Coaching, connection, going into emotions, facial expressions, that's something that AI never can take over. And I think it's very important that you underline those words. The more we go in technology, the more there's a need for us coaches to connect
Correct.
On a heart level. Absolutely.
Yeah, the big thing I would throw out to somebody out there is, guys, you're not wrong if you don't like the way most people sell coaching. Because honestly, most of them are manipulative. They use pressure techniques. Doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good when somebody, like you said, at an event, they manipulate you and keep you up all night for the sole purpose of breaking down your cognitive thinking and your ability to critically think. You're exhausted. They then are subconsciously embedding commands throughout the deal that you need this, you need this. How about we stop the BS and just start having honest conversations with people? If you focus on them and you focus and know how to do it, it is actually the most empowering part of the coaching process. So one more point I want people to make. I don't care at all if you think manipulative selling works. It does not, and it destroys the coaching relationship. So let's just say I follow these other guys and I can teach manipulative selling, and I'm not going to, but if I manipulate you and beat you up and I shame you, and that's all of this is part of the manipulation process. Are you going to be a man? Are you going to be a wuss? Are you going to do this? And so they try and manipulate you to buy. But in the process of that approach, you destroy the trust that's going to be needed to get the transformation in the program.
Yes.
It's not a win.
No.
And so one of the things, as you know, when I helped Tony build the coaching from about 30 coaches to about 150, and our numbers went through the roof, is because I stopped using manipulation and we started enrolling people and started having honest conversations about the human being. So I hope you guys out there understand that.
I remember, you know, you always say, hey, you know, what has been great? Almost solution-focused coaching, you know, from Steve DeShazer. It was always great that you were, of course, the numbers were always a result of the mentorship that you gave. That was quite interesting.
I'll give you an example. When I got there, the coaching department did about $11,000 in coaching product sales, and they did $17,000 for the company in the year for event sales. When I left, we did $2.1 million in product sales, the coaches alone, $2.1 million, and $4.8 million in event referrals.
Insane
and I did
numbers.
It by getting them to stop selling anything.
Yep.
I said, you're not here to sell it to make money and get your bonus. You are here because if that's what they need, you need to share it. Now, here's what was interesting. I had the coaches. I said, you serve the client with whatever they need. So I get called into the office by the CFO, and he says, is it true you're recommending, you know, Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen, you know? And I said, if that's what the client needed, absolutely. He goes, you can't do that. You know, we have books too. And I said, please show me a book that shows somebody how to have a New York Times bestseller. Please show me how to translate that book. Just show me one book. And I said, I'm going to serve with integrity. Now, if you don't like it, we will go back to the $11,000. Needless to say, they dropped the conversation. I said, I teach the coaches and the sales team to stop selling, serve the client with whatever serves them best. And in that process, our numbers went crazy good. But then some small thinking people, they just want to shove down your throat what I benefit. That's not how you get where you want to go. And I've done this countless. Let's just say as an example, you're a coach, but you're a marathon running coach. You need the money. And you're working with a guy and he wants to be a bodybuilder, CrossFit athlete.
Yeah.
You are immoral if you take his money. Well, I can help him in a relationship too, and I can do it. If your training was in running, you should work with him. Refer him to the best bodybuilding coach you can find.
Yeah.
And what happens is people start to trust again. And when they trust, I'll give you one example, and I think we'll need to be wrapping up. I was at a timeshare company, and I hated the way they sold timeshare, but I was waiting to get my broker's license after I got out of the Navy. And so I figured, oh, hell, I'll just go. I only have to work 2 nights a week or 2 days a week, Saturday and Sunday and Friday nights. It's great. I can train all the time. So I'm at this timeshare place, and immediately I had the best sales out of anybody, but I didn't follow their structure. I followed it. Why I bought, what are you looking to get from your family? Right. And this one guy came through, and he on paper looked great. The guy had just sold. He put down there, he makes $150,000 a year. Super good guy. Everybody thought, oh, this guy's going to do it, right? Well, when I'm talking to him, I found out he just sold his business for $250 million. I found out that he just bought a $12 million boat. I found out he had penthouses around the world. I found out he had a private jet. And as I'm going through this, I got to the point where I'm supposed to close him.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, I said, sir, I go 90-95% of the time our product can make your life better. But I, honest to God, it's not going to help you at all. I cannot find a way that this is going to help you. And he sat back in his chair and he goes, well, that was something I wasn't expecting. And he goes, I agree. I don't need this. And he goes, and no offense, but why did you come in? He goes, my wife's friend bought here and we were thinking, you know, whatever. And I said, again, you could come here and rent it or buy it or whatever. And he goes, I know that too. He goes, I just want to keep my wife happy. And then he sat back and he thought, you know what? I really appreciate the honesty. And he said, I've got a problem. He goes, I've got two daughters graduating from college and I've been racking my brain trying to figure out, because now that I'm rich, they're waiting for me to die to get the money. And I want to give them a taste of the good life, but I don't want to steal their passion to do the work to get it.
Yeah.
He goes, do you think something like this? And I said, absolutely. Let me explain how to make that work. He ended up buying two of the most expensive. I didn't take him to the cleaners, but he did it because it worked. And he was so grateful. He'd stop by every single year with his girls to come and say hello and thank you, thank you, thank you.
It's a great example of not selling. I had also a client and he didn't want to continue. And I said, but we close it in a very friendly human being way. Mm-hmm. And of course he came back. Instead of, you know, how can you do this, you know, et cetera. Last question and then we wrap up. How do you see the future for coaching, for us as coaches?
It's a great question. It's going to be polarized. If people do not understand that a coach without clients, it's a hobby. A coach that doesn't know how to get clients is going to be in financial struggle. So the gap is going to widen. And what's going to happen is you're going to see fewer and fewer coaches that are doing 6 and 7 figures. Mm-hmm. But there's more people that are going to give up on coaching entirely because they don't know how to get clients with integrity. And so that's the big shift that I've noticed going back for the last 15 years in coaching.
Okay.
And so that's really it. And it doesn't have to be that way. There are 8 billion people. There is hundreds of millions of people that need a coach.
Yep.
So the market is getting bigger. The potential is getting bigger, but there's more noise and there's more competition for everybody's attention. And you have to know how to do that with integrity and be able to pierce through the noise.
Excellent. I think we as ICF coaches, yes, have that label. We have three great things for your from your podcast. Get qualified people. You need to know how to enroll. And of course, you have that fulfillment. Excellent. Mark, thank you so much. It was really an amazing podcast. You know, I would like to have you all for another time. But for now, we're podcast listeners. Mark, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The ICF podcast is a journalistic offering of ICF Germany and provides a colorful bouquet of entertaining and informative content. The statements of the interview partners do not necessarily represent the position of ICF Germany.